Welcome to the Maven's Keys to Financial Contentment, a personal guide to achieving your financial goals. In each episode, certified financial planner Dominique Henderson reveals insights to the underlying truths of how to be truly financially content by learning to put your money where your heart is. Dominique is the owner and founder of DJH Capital Management, LLC, a fee-only registered investment advisory firm offering comprehensive financial planning and wealth management services to entrepreneurs. You can learn more about Dominique and his firm by visiting their website, www.djh-capital.com, or on social media by the hashtag Financial Literacy Bootcamp. Now here's the maven himself, Dominique Henderson.
Welcome to the Maven's Keys to Financial Contentment. I'm your host, Dominique Henderson, and today we are going to continue a discussion on money and psychology. We started this last week, and really the goal behind this series is to give us some insights and raise our awareness, if you will, of some of the tactics that are used in marketing strategy. In sales strategy. So you'll want to go back and kind of catch up because I laid the foundation last week on the five ways we spend money. Quick recap. I got to go through all four. So you got tax payments in this order, tax payments, debt payments, charitable giving, lifestyle support, and finally investing. Now the last two probably get the lesser proportion of your income on average. And what you have to realize is that number four is all about current you, and number five is all about future you. And we tend to not concentrate enough on the future you, our future selves, and do more consumption around number four. And the reason for that is typically because the marketing machine is very powerful. They're betting on the fact that you're going to regard number four over everything else on the list. And they use various tactics to exploit this or manipulate us into consuming more and more and more, even though a large part of that consumption is unnecessary at times and largely probably even unneeded. So I want to make you aware of this hierarchy, because it sets up today's episode and next week's episode about tactics that are used by marketers. So I'm gonna cover two today and I'll cover two next week. They really center around, these four tactics center around two pieces of, information that I've taken in over the years. The first is Influence, is a book by Bob Cialdini, and I'll put that in the show notes, and this talk that Charlie Munger gave to Harvard in 1995. I'm going to be using the terms that Charlie Munger used in his talk. That way, when you go back and look at the YouTube video, if you decide to do that, you'll know what I'm talking about and it'll make more sense. And so I'll use his labels for these particular tactics. And he's not necessarily coming at the same spin as me. I'm letting you know of the hubris or the cognitive biases that we have that are resident within our brains that get triggered by a particular tactic or manipulation, whatever you want to call it, exploitation, by a marketer or a person that's trying to sell you something. And the whole idea is for you to be more aware of this so that you can make more informed decisions, right? So let's get started. And so when we're talking about bad judgment or irrational behavior, which is the whole genesis of this and trying to get us into a better spot, you have to talk about first what is called psychological denial. Psychological denial is basically your current reality is so unbearable that you have to do things to make that more bearable. And you justify those things, whether they're rational behavior or not, typically unrational behavior. Good example to me is playing the lottery. I'm going to step on some toes here, but I don't really care. That's not the point of this podcast, is to step on toes. The point is to bring information to you that can be helpful. So say, for instance, you're playing the Powerball, which is nationwide, right? And there, if you just kind of consider, and this is without even getting really scientific about this, right? 300 million people in the U.S. You're one person. One in 300 million is a very, very small chance of winning something. Now, granted, you're going to say, Dominique, well, everybody doesn't play lottery, but people play multiple times in the lottery, meaning they buy more than one ticket. So the odds are probably around that. I think some stuff I read was like 292 million. Well, that's pretty close. I mean, a 1 in 8 million chance is, I mean, so what? It's statistical rounding error, if you will. The point being is if you are in a situation where you're living paycheck to paycheck and you're consuming too much, if we're going back to the five ways of spending, you're the first three, which are constant, you can't really control. And then the fourth one you're doing too much of, you don't have anything left for number five, which is saving for your future self, whether that be an emergency fund or whether that be your retirement. If you're in a dynamic where you're so stressed out and anxious that you feel like you have to punch your way out of this by buying a lottery ticket for a game or a, you know, a chance in a game that you're probably not going to win. I mean, you probably got a better chance of getting struck by lightning or for having a nuclear attack or something like that. I mean, you have better chances with those two events, even though those are very unlikely. If you feel like that's your only way out, then there's some psychological denial going on there that you're going to have to realize that will keep you from purchasing that lottery ticket. Because there's other ways to do this thing. I mean, you could, you know, probably spend less on other things. Maybe you need to downsize in your vehicle. Maybe you need to downsize in your house. Maybe you need to just stop spending so much on Starbucks or other habits or other, you know, there's all kinds of things here that you can do to change besides wasting what amounts to be probably a very small fortune over a set amount of years, depending on how often you play and how many tickets you buy. I mean, you could use that for college tuition. You can use that to buy a life insurance policy. You can use that to just invest and let it compound over time. I mean, there's tons of different uses. But what marketers would do is use that fact that you do have that hubris, that bias of continuing to deny what your reality is and using justification to, you know, kind of appease your own conscience or justify the behavior that you're doing around that particular thing. So going on to number two, consistency and commitment tendency. So that's just a big fancy term that Mr. Munger's using when really what he's talking about, the idea of us as humans, we want to stay consistent with what we've said and what commitments we've made. In and of itself, this is not a bad thing. I mean, I don't know too many people that want to be in a relationship with somebody that doesn't hold up their end of the bargain. That's not the point that we're getting at here. But the point we're getting at is how marketers use this against us. And I think the main way of kind of unveiling that or unpacking that is to realize that you're going to stay consistent to what you've said that you're going to do and the commitments that you've made, sometimes regardless of the fact of even if you're dead wrong, right? And so I've kind of talked about this on a previous podcast, I believe, in the Financial Literacy Bootcamp, about how people own stock. You know, they'll work for a company for, you know, X amount of years, and they're getting paid by the company, they get the benefits through the company, and then they start to buy company stock in their 401k. And there's nothing wrong with that. But if you own an investment that you don't understand or is not good for you, that's when it becomes bad. You don't know. You probably don't read the financials. You just do, you know, whatever you do, whatever your job is. You're not just reading through the financials. You're not knowing how the earnings and profitability is going with the company in relation to its peers and whether or not that's a good investment. You just own it because you work there. And that's not necessarily a good purchase per se. And so marketers realize this. And what they're doing is they are marketing to you and I bad products or services that we will continue to buy just because we said we're going to buy it. You know, you may have made a commitment to somebody in the case of the person that's the investor that's owning stock in their own company or the company they work for, rather. Their commitment is the fact that they want to be loyal to the company. I mean, I need to own stock because, you know, I work here. Those things could be on the basis of just kind of looking at that from the surface level, could just be bad. You have to reevaluate what makes a good purchase in that company or what makes a good purchase altogether for why you're purchasing something. The consistency and the commitment tendency is exploited by marketers because we love to stay true to what we said. And that can be used against us sometimes. So you have to realize that. I just want to make you aware. So next week, we're going to bring this in for a landing. Next week, we'll talk about two more tactics that are used quite frequently in the marketing world when it comes to making sure that we're spending our money on present day, or let's say supporting our present day self and not looking out as much for our future self, okay? So hopefully you enjoyed this. Hopefully it's been helpful. We'll see you next week back here on Maven's Keys to Financial Contentment. Take care.